on this episode of Still Loading.
Really? Like gagging you with a spoon?
Time to begin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of the Still Loading Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Koble, and it is Captain End time, baby. We are back with more adventures of Captain End, and I promise there will be a lot less End-related puns than there was in the previous episode. But with me today, of course, my co-host with the mo-host of the bro-host, Dexter Morrill. Dexter, how are you doing today?
Hey, it's me. I can't make that same promise. I might be dropping puns, so...
That's all right. As long as one of us is trying. we are here to talk about season 2, episode 5 of Captain N the Game Master. It's called The Big Game, written by Dennis O'Flaherty and released on October 6, 1990. Dennis actually wrote both of the episodes we are recording today. A little behind the scenes thing. Our time frames are usually pretty tight, so we could usually only get to fit one episode per recording session. But we're gonna try to you know, beat the system. And the system, by system, I mean our children. Oh, not beat our children. That sounds awful. My analogy's falling down, Dexter. This isn't working. But we're trying to fit it all in during their nap. So we'll see what we do. But so Dennis O'Flaherty wrote this, and as per usual, we're going to start off with things that we noticed in this episode, and I don't want to take yours. I think we might have the same one, and I have a couple options for this. So why don't you kind of shout out one of your observations, a general observation from this episode?
Yeah, if we are on the same wavelength, I think that the thing that jumps out about this one is this feels the most nuts. This feels the most like I was having a bad trip.
Yeah.
Because most of these episodes, like, I mean, it already feels like you're on drugs watching this show, but this one felt like bad drugs.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. The plot makes no fucking sense. It is all over the place. I have never... My two observations were kind of similar to your, like this, similar to yours. The first one was just this episode is bonkers. Like the story is all over the place. There is so much exposition about shit that does not matter. And all the things that does matter, they don't bother explaining. So it's all over the place. Then the other half of it is, I was thinking about this. I'm really noticing, you know, we kind of gave like we joked a lot during season one about, you know, Jeffrey Scott, please come on the show. We love you. And, you know, we were joking. We were serious about him coming on the show. But like a lot of it was like tongue in cheek because the show is kind of meh. Like we love the show. But, you know, you can't deny the writing isn't always its strongest suit. I'm not going to lie. This season, I'm noticing a difference in the writing because this season I don't think is as good as the first one. And it's not even close. What are your thoughts, though?
Yeah, the writing's definitely very inconsistent. I mean, I think that shows with one voice versus there's been, you know, even five episodes in, it's been like four different writers, I think, over the course of these episodes.
Yeah, we have had actually, if you count because there's two on the one episode, there's six different writers. There's Dorothy Middleton that for episode one. Episode two was David Ehrman and Sean Roche. Third episode, Rick Merwin. Fourth episode, Michael Maurer. And then the fifth episode is this one, Dennis O'Flaherty. Dennis actually writes three episodes this season, and we're knocking the first two out in a row. I'm very concerned about the last one, which is Having a Ball, which shows up. It's actually episode 9. So we only have two in the middle between. We're just being sandwiched by O'Flaherty's here. But let's talk about this. Let's talk about this episode. The premise of The Big Game is that Dr. Wily, or this episode called The Big Game, Dr. Wily discovers a new source of power, a new source of energy called competition energy, and he has found a way to harness it. So he shows Mother Brain an example of how this works by making King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard compete against one of his robots, which I don't think they understand the definition of the term compete.
Yes. No, that was... You described it much more coherently in one sentence, what the premise is supposed to be, but this episode, it's so clunky. The exposition in this is so clunky. And it's not even just that it's obviously exposition, because I mean, it's a kid show, you know, whatever. But as far as like, it's beyond like obvious exposition, it's now clunky because they... Well, first of all, the narrator starts out telling us that that Dr. Wily was in Megaland in Skull Castle. Is that canon? Is that actually what his place is called? I wrote that down.
Yes. Okay. I don't know if that's actually what it's called, but if you play the Mega Man games, like the final boss area is in a castle that has a big skull on it.
Yeah, that sounds like that would be the name, but I was like, is that actually the name? I actually don't know if anyone's ever named Wily's place. But first he starts out by wanting to introduce his invention. Okay, fine. He's the villain, of course. But then after he's like, yes, I've got this invention and it draws in the most powerful energy in video land. Competition energy. And then you're like, I was like, okay, I can go with this. And then Mother Brain's like, what's competition energy? And I was like, wait.
Wait. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Like, you don't need to do exposition here.
But not only that, but then like, it's the most powerful energy and she didn't know. But then Dr. Wily then goes, oh yes, I also discovered competition energy.
Why haven't I heard of this before? And he's like, well, I only just discovered it. So like,
Would lead with that. Not with like, I have this new invention. You think he'd be like, hey, I discovered this new energy and I'm going to find a way to draw it. But then, yeah, exactly. Like you said, he sends out Metal Man to attack King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard, who spend the entire time running from him and trying to avoid him. But it's still drawing competition energy from them. And I was like, that's the opposite. Yeah. Giving up is the opposite of competition, right? Like, I don't want to play. Like,
they really, like I said, they really don't know what the definition of competition is in this show, in this episode. Yeah. It absolutely makes no sense.
But and, then the result, the result is to use that energy to send the end team to the earthquake warp zone.
Yes, the earthquake zone or whatever.
They drop that information and then that's it. They don't explain that at all. They're just like, it's just so convoluted. Like, sorry, I'll let you go on. Why is that a bad thing?
It's like the term earthquake zone, as much as earthquakes are bad, it doesn't necessarily imply like death or like they're going away forever. Like it's a kids show, right? So they're not going to be like, we're going to send them to like the murder zone or something
hell
like
zone.
That or hell zone. If they really wanted to, they could just send them to jail zone, right? Where they're just going to be in jail, like,
or where they end up just going at the end, not to spoil things yet. Yeah,
or just something like that. And back at the Palace of Power, which it kind of saddens me that I know this term without having to think about it anymore. Like, I just know the end team's headquarters. What have we been doing to ourselves, Dexter? It's back at the Palace of Power, and Lana is noticing Kevin is looking sad. He's looking wistful, forlorn. It's because he misses his home. And so her and Mega Man are trying to make him feel like, it like remind him of California. Now it reminds me of the wizard, the California. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Every time someone says California, that's what pops into my head of all things. And the worst part is like, I didn't even see the wizard as a kid. I first heard about it from the AVGN because like, it just something my parents never, like, I'm old enough that I could have seen it on like VHS or something like that. But, I should have seen it beforehand, but you know, my parents, I was born right actually the year it came out. Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
So I saw it through AVGN, and he always makes a joke about how he's a kid hell bent on going to California. And he puts together a little montage of him going, California, California, California. And so now every time, because of that one video, anytime someone says California, that's my immediate go-to. And sometimes I'll catch myself quoting it and people just stare at me because, like, obviously, like, that's such an obscure reference that I would argue even people who know the Wizard wouldn't pick up on it just because it's such a dumb, like, it's not a reference, it's not like it's a quotable line, it's just
you've taken an obscure thing. Movie an obscure line from an obscure movie that is referenced from an obscure YouTube
like corner. Most people who know the Wizard, if you do, you would recite the Power Glove line, you know. Yeah. but this one is just California and it for some reason it makes me laugh. Anyway, so Kevin misses California. Oh, and I'm sorry, I said his name. So Kevin misses California. And so Lana's like skateboarding or like roller skating or something, and she crashes into Simon, who just made popcorn, who's in time for I forget what show. He drops in these two episodes specifically, he drops like these fictional shows. I think like one was like Morgue Masters or something like that. In like this, in the next episode he drops that reference. I don't remember exactly.
Was Castlevania Bandstand.
That's what it was, Castlevania Bandstand. But the show takes place in California Games World.
Oh, like, you're skipping over quite a bit.
Oh, go on.
I have to backtrack. Sorry. They were watching Castlevania Bandstand, and the band that was performing was the Ungrateful Undead, which I thought was kind of a funny joke.
There are some solid jokes in this show.
Yeah, that one I was like, okay, you got me there. The thing that I wrote down in my notes that you had skipped over was, you know, like they said, oh, I think Kevin, he misses California.
And you're going to do it.
And their solution to that was, yes, to have Mega Man show up with a skateboard and then they let Lana skate on it. But before, when he's giving the skateboard to Kevin to try,
I think I know you're going
now. Kevin's like, oh, wow, you made this? And they're like, yeah, we made it for you. We thought it would make you feel more at home. And Mega Man says, all right, get out there, Mondo Nose, or something like that. And I was like, is that a thing? Was that a thing that I missed in the 90s? And even Kid Icarus is like, Mondo Nose? And Mega Man's like, it's a California thing, you wouldn't get it. And I was like, I'm so confused. That sounded like an insult. Mondo Nose?
I don't know. Like, why would you? That's like calling someone a shoobie, right?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And the robot later that says, gag me with a spoon. I was like, okay, that I've heard that before.
He said, I didn't hear that line. These two episodes were so hard to concentrate on. I was having such a hard – I watched this episode specifically 4 goddamn times, Dexter, and I can barely put together like a sentence on it. Like, it is just,
I'm impressed that you're here right now.
Oh, my God. I woke up with my kid this morning who I love it. The days we do our recording sessions are the days I usually wake up with her. So her and I, before Courtney wakes up, have daddy-daughter cartoon mornings, and we watch Captain N. She actually says, she'll go like, Captain N. It's really funny. She likes Mario Super Show more, which, you know what, fair. But yeah, so they, Kevin skateboards around the walls. Lana tries skateboarding as well. That's when she crashes into Simon. And this whole plan of Wily is, like we said, like he wants to get the N team to produce enough competition energy so that way he can then use whatever the warp zone thing is and send them to the earthquake zone. And they can just, you know, then Mother Brain and the team can just escape, you know, unscathed. And this whole thing just makes no sense the whole time, because he sends a fake commercial over onto the TV that they're watching for like an all expense paid trip to California Games World, and tickets come out of the TV. Like, there's just a little hole. It just tickets
like
feed out of this TV.
Tickets too.
Like, yeah. Like, it means nothing. I'm like, what kind of magic TV is this? This was not. And I know what I noticed. This is sad how much we've watched this. the couch is different from what it was in the previous season. The couch and TV are not the same couch and TV that we're used to from previous seasons. Now, I will say the couch has a kind of similar shape to it in a sense where it's like, it's got the normal sitting spot and then those elevated seats in the back. And it was, I don't know if there was elevated seats in this new one in the back, but like it was, it had that cross shape, that X shape in the back still. So like, I feel like there's a little bit of continuity, and you know what? No one's going to give a shit about that. I just find it funny that there is, that I noticed the lack of continuity in this stupid cartoon. I'm a little disappointed in myself.
That's when they saw the robot, though, that I was discussing, is that, that he built one of his robots to be the quote-unquote actress in the commercial, mm-hmm. and she's just throwing out all these different, like, 90s Valley Girl, like, things, and that was what, so she's like, heartless, oh my god, gag me with a spoon, we're, and, like, it's so out of context, and for some reason, Kevin's like, yeah, that sounds legit, like, no, it doesn't.
I really want to know where Dennis O'Flaherty was from. Like, was he from the Valley? Like, was it from, he from California? Because, like, this makes absolutely no fucking sense.
I know. And the fact that none of them understood his California, like, the things about California, but then they go to the California Games world. I was like, wait, do you know what California is or do you not? Because, like, there is a California Games zone in Videoland, but well, they just don't get it. And I was very confused. That was on top of the competition energy thing. And then now this, I was like, why are there so many inconsistencies like within 30 seconds of each other?
There's so much wrong with this episode. And it just gets, the worst part is that in terms of plot continuity and plot understandability, this is the high point of the episode. It just goes downhill from here. It gets so much worse.
Dennis drops a lore bomb on us at the end of this episode too, and then like skirts yes. by it. And I was like, wait, what?
This is news to me.
Yeah.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it. But I do love that it cuts to a montage. They do go to California Games World, which is what a clunky sentence. And they do throw in a little montage here of, you know, them having, you know, the end team having some fun, you know, Mega Man skating on this kind of like boardwalk roller coaster thing, which is kind of dope looking. Kevin and Lana, what are they riding? They're bicycles. They're riding bicycles, I think, right?
Yeah.
And Dr. Wily sends all of his like robots there to basically instigate, like, and kind of terrorize them a little bit, just enough, but not like actually terrorize them, just instigate them to be like, try to beat us, come on, like, to get up that competitive energy. And I love Lana's reaction where he's like, that seems like it's something from Dr. Wily or from, you know, Mega Man's world. I'm not gonna let them beat me. I'm like, why do you give a shit? There's no, like, this isn't, there's no race, there's not, no stakes. Like, what is it, just because they were being like a dick to you? Like, if I was in that situation, I would have like honked my horn, flipped my middle finger, and then just went about my day.
It was very like, Marty McFly of him, where like Marty right? McFly's one weakness is like you call him chicken and he's like, oh, I'm gonna get you. That's what it kind of felt like.
Like some of the other things in this montage, though, Kid Icarus and Kevin are skateboarding on a half pipe. I remember. So I forgot I wrote down this note. Wily's extractor to extract the competition energy. Because like while all this is happening, it's cutting back and forth between all the competition stuff happening and then also Dr. Wily talking about getting the competition energy. The extractor thing, it's weird because it's like, if I remember correctly, it's kind of like up on like a little tiny, a thin like rod, and then it's got this round oval shape. And it looks like a butthole. It's another butthole reference in Captain N. It's just sucking up competition. So, listeners, now you know buttholes are competition energy absorbers. I don't know what that means in the context of real life, but according to Captain N,
I don't logic, think I want to, though.
There's so many implications we could go with this. But you know what? I think we should just let our listeners' imaginations do the work for us.
Yes, we'll
just
this will be the first one where we tell you not to watch and let the imagination do all the work for you.
Oh,
we're just going to paint the butthole picture for you.
Oh my god. Yeah, and so I'm wanting you to get your, I want to hear your thoughts on this, Dexter. But to wrap up this kind of scene, pretty much the whole premise is, you know, there's a montage of all this stuff happening, and then the robots go a little bit too far, and it kind of saps all the fun out of it for the end team. So they're like, this isn't fun anymore. We're not going to play any of these games now. And Dr. Wiley's like, no, no, no. Actually, his reaction to the no, no, no thing made me laugh because it was so like over and under dramatic all at the same time. I don't know how to describe it. I'm still trying to figure out what the audio clip for this episode starts off the episode should be. I'm kind of leaning towards that, or maybe it's the gag me with a spoon thing. I'm not sure yet.
She says it so fast too. Because Dr. Wily's machines, all the robots start to take it too far. They start to be a little bit more violent instead of actually competing. And so the rest of the team, they're like packing up to leave because they're like, no, we don't, you know, we're not going to do this. We're just here to have fun. And that's when Wily loses his mind. And he decides on a risk maneuver like this. His plot is to do a secret thing that's going to cost competition energy, but he's hoping that in the end it will increase the amount that he's drawing from the end team. And so he decides in one of the craziest moves we've seen on the show to warp Kevin's entire high school into the California Games video land. I didn't quite understand what was happening. It took a little bit for me to actually this is actually happening. I thought it would be like a mirage or
I think that's the strangest thing, because so far in this show never once has they have been able to warp something from Kevin's world into video land. It's always been like, here's an approximation. Like there's that one episode where Kevin thinks he's gone home when in actuality it's just this, like, you know, Mother Brain set up part of Metroid to look like his hometown type of thing.
The bully that Dr. Wily made, where it was just a robot that looked like the kid that bullied Kevin.
Exactly.
So they've never actually been able to manifest anything because it was supposed to be the big deal that they got Kevin to begin with, like to get someone from our world to help them. And now, like, I get that competition energy is the most powerful, but that seems like an even bigger deal that he was able to bring an entire high school into video land.
What a dumb idea. Like, I don't understand the logic behind Wily being like, I know what I'll do to keep this competition energy flowing. I'll spend what little I have to bring in Kevin's high school and five of his classmates. I was under the impression that, you know, it just happened to be those five people in the high school at the time that it got warped over. So issue number one with that. One, what are the odds that it's only those five random kids in the entire high school that get warped over with them? Issue number two, why bring the high school in? I don't like, how do you, you have no guarantee of who's going to be there or what's going to be there. And third major issue is it's just everything just works out on luck that it's the football team. Like, who's to say it would have been those five? Like, what? Yeah. Like, there's, it's, why is it only those five when there's a whole staff there? It should have been more. It's also, why the high school in the first place? Like, how does that benefit you at all in any way, shape, or form?
It made more sense if it was like the football field of his high school or something like that, and those five just happened to be there for practice or something. Yeah,
like that. It makes no sense. But are there any comments you have that I might have glazed over in between the montage of them doing all the California game stuff, the quote unquote competition, and Dr. Wily being like, I have an idea. I'm going to warp into high school.
No, it's the stuff coming up that I have comments on. But I did feel like once I realized, no, these kids are real and this is really his high school, this isn't some like vision, that it was starting to, that particular plot was starting to feel more like a real like plot I would be invested in than anything up to this point. Like, oh, interesting. They have to work together.
I do think it's weird that he warped, like, because in the beginning of the episode, you know, he warps all of his robots over. Like, he has power to warp them wherever he wants to already. So why does he need competition energy to send somebody to the earthquake zone? He literally just warped all of his robots over to California Games. Like, I'm very confused by the need for any of this. It makes absolutely no sense. It's funny. You know, we talk about how little sense this episode makes, but it just gets, this is the worst I've seen of this show. Like, in general, this whole show has lots of stuff, you know, we make fun of, like, oh, this plot is dumb, or this doesn't make any sense. It's just one of those things where, like, you have to watch it three times to even understand. Like, I guarantee you, listeners, if you watch this episode, if you subject yourself to this episode, I shouldn't say I guarantee, I'm fairly certain that if you watched this episode, you would be so lost on the plot without having an explanation. I'm not even saying for us to, like, that it's you wouldn't understand it without us. You wouldn't understand it with just someone explaining what the fuck is happening in the plot of this episode. Kevin's high school classmates, they're not friends. That's very clear. They're just, you know, they recognize him from high school. And there's
the cheerleader. She calls him. Yeah. What'd she call him? I can't remember what she thought his name,
like,
was.
The video game player who helped me Corpus. With my math homework or something, yeah. Like this.
Or something like that. She calls him and he's like, it's Kevin, actually. Like,
yeah, Curvis. I forgot she calls him Curvis or Kermit. I don't remember exactly. Yeah. He's like, it's Kevin, actually. They're not bullies. That's what I find interesting. There is one guy who's kind of a bully, but most of the football players are actually not bullies. It's just the one dude who they literally draw him to look like a pig. He kind of looks like Ganon, in all honesty.
Yes.
He's the bully.
I was wondering if they were trying to make, like, if all of the people that were brought were supposed to be archetypes like the end team, because one of them's the quarterback of the football team. And I felt like he was kind of the leader and like the captain. The cheerleader looked a lot like Lana, except blonde, but she was more of a ditz. And the big pig looking guy, I was wondering if he was supposed to be like Mega Man because he was strong. And he even makes he even mentions at one point, like, noticing how Mega Man's like just easily able to lift stuff, even though he's tiny. Like, I could do that. And then there's a blonde guy who's very,
like, the pretty boy.
Yes, which seems to be like Simon. I think
that dynamic you're talking about is, like, most evident with Simon and that blonde guy, because, like, they really kind of, they're both hitting on Princess Lana. Like, you know, the blonde dude is really attracted to Lana, and Simon, of course, is always, like, hitting on Lana. But Simon tries to hit on the blonde cheerleader, which I forget her name. But yeah, you're right. I do think there is some element of them trying to do that, kind of like, this is the high school version of the end team, like the California high school version of the end team.
They're all hunkered down in the high school. It's become kind of like their home base, where they're kind of figuring out, okay, how do we want to take on Wiley's army and stuff like that? And they decide that they're going to use playing football to do it. Like, that's what we know what to do best. So that's what we're going to do. Meanwhile, I don't know if we talked about this, that Mother Brain is going to join them, and I laughed harder than I probably should have. Mother Brain transforms so she can go to the California games, but she drops down into, like, this pit. Meanwhile, they keep cycling the same scream from King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard just over and over, like, ah, ah, ah. They're like looping it. And then she pops up, and now her tank is also like a motorcycle, and the funny thing is, you know, she shows up and, like, ah, I'm going to go and stop them, or go, you know, I'm going to go to California games. And then after that, when they're driving off with Mother Brain, they do the same scream again, like a fourth time. Ah! And they laugh. And then Dr. Wily, when he's finally, like, there to challenge them, I was like, oh, here's another thing that that Captain N did first. Dr. Wily's like giant Mufasa in the sky.
Yes, I was thinking that watching it this morning, and I'm like, I didn't think of the Mufasa reference, but I'm like, how is, like, what like there's nothing projecting that head up there. Like, at least in Lion King, you can make the argument it's like a religious experience that he's having. But in this, it's just a bunch of, like, Dr. Wily's just like, yeah, my head's up in the sky. Don't bother wondering how I put it up there. It's just up there.
I remember being like, what is happening? Like, why is Dr. Wily Mufasa now?
It's just, oh my gosh, sorry, listeners. I'm not bored. I'm just, it's been a busy weekend. Sorry, go on, Dex.
I was going to say the cheerleader is, I don't know if she's jealous of Lana or if she, but all of a sudden she's starting to show interest in Kevin and she's starting to be a lot more interested in the, you know, the end team. And both Simon and the Simon version of the kid in the high school football team, I can't remember if they drop something or if they're like, oh, allow me. They're both like tripping over each other, trying to help Lana. And the cheerleader girl says, oh, you're both so gallant. And I honestly can't tell if that was a joke making fun of the cheerleader being a ditz or if nobody knew how to pronounce gallant, but
well, is it Goofus and Gallant? Like, it's the supposed to be like the
yeah, I know the term, but I thought that it was I thought that was like the British pronunciation. Like, I thought that
I never thought we'd get into I think you are correct though. Like, if someone's acting gallantly, then it's kind of like it's spelled kind of similarly. But I always thought the cartoon, the little comic strip, was Goofus and Gallant.
Okay. So it's my fault.
I don't know. I could be wrong though. I could be off with that. I'd have to double check. But either way, she says it strangely in all context. Whether it's supposed to be gallant, like gallantly, but how does she say it? It's gallant? She says
they're both being so gallant.
Yeah, that's like it's the wrong pronunciation. Yeah. In every imagination, in every stretch of it. Now, I believe the Princess Lana and the cheerleader are both voiced. Well, we know Princess Lana is voiced by Venus Turzo, but I believe Venus Turzo also voiced the cheerleader in this because she's like, you know, her Lana counterpart, which I thought was pretty cool. She did a pretty good job. And actually, we'll get to it in the next episode. I think Venus Turzo is fantastic in the next episode.
Yeah.
We'll get to it, of course.
Rick, the quarterback, was a good voice too.
I wonder who did that. I have to look it up. So he meets with his you know, high school, not friends, you know, they recognize him and they're like, oh, you're that video game player. What a dumb line. They, you know, then Wily's minions start to attack. They hide in the high school and they're trying to determine, like, Wily's like, I'm not going to let you out unless you, you know, play a game or something like that. And they decide, like, well, why don't we, you know, the football team realizes, like, Kevin actually can do shit because he's the captain. He's the, you know, he's the, I was going to say the end master. What do they call him?
The game master.
The game master. Why did I blank on that? Holy shit. It's in the fucking title next. And it's the captain and the game master. And I'm like, what is his title again? The end master? Oh my god.
It's this episode. I'm so mad.
Dude, this weekend is just a blur. It's been a blur. I was telling you beforehand off mic, like, my kid was like super cranky this morning, and I actually did realize it was probably because she was hungry because we were waiting to feed her for her normal time, which was an hour later than what she's used to. So she, it was like, yeah, I'm not surprised she was really hungry, but in any case, so he, you know, he's protecting the end. Kevin and the end team are protecting the high schoolers, and they kind of hide in the high school, and that, you know, that's when we were talking about, you know, like Dr. Wily reveals himself in the clouds, like Mufasa's himself to them. And it's a verb now, we're making it something. And they decide like, well, why don't we just play football? Why don't we play football? That's something we're going to be good at, hence the football team, and we'll play them in football. And of course, Wily, you know, when they go out to confront Wily, he's like, oh, I forgot to tell you, here's actually my starters, and it's all of his robots. This football game was wild. There is so much happening in this football game. Is there anything that I skipped over before we talk about the football game, though?
No. No, you're spot on, but I'm just now realizing that this was also before Space Jam, and this football game is very Space Jam, if you remember when the Toon Squad is getting their butts handed to them by the Monstars. Like, the same thing's happening here with the Robot Masters. They're totally, like, cheating and going by their own robot logic of football. People are flying through the air. The football's being shot out of the air with cannons.
Duke scores a touchdown by biting under the ball, and then the tail end of it gets popped, and it propels him like a rocket through the uprights. And I'm wondering what is happening right now. There's...
I'm just imagining this out of context. Someone watching just this moment of the episode, like, what did I just turn on? This is,
oh my god,
that this, poor dog.
Did I smoke before this? Did I take any acid before this? I don't know. This is a bad trip, man. This scene specifically is just so many of like the most insane stuff.
And do you remember the song they used for this montage?
Having a ball.
They used it again.
Which episode did they use it in before? I know we've heard it already. I remember that. I even wrote that down as a note. I'm like, they're using this song again.
It was. I blame Dennis for this, but it was the mother brain switching brains with Donkey Kong, because I remember it's when the walls are falling and they're playing this like having a ball song while like people are like, oh my god, our home is being destroyed.
You're right, that's what it is. That's episode 2 of season 2, Queen of the Apes. That's what it was.
This at least made more sense because they're playing a ball game.
Well, and then we have an episode coming up called Having a Ball, and I'm scared we're gonna hear this third by Dennis O'Flaherty.
And then the next episode by Dennis has Donkey Kong and Prince Pleasant. Sorry to spoil that for people for the next episode, but I was like, so it's all connected by this silly song.
You're right. Having a Ball and Prince Pleasant, which I forgot about his name until you just said it.
Prince Plenty, I think is his name.
I like Pleasant more, but Plenty works too.
Yeah.
But you're right. All three of those factors are in episode 2. And then one of those factors is in this episode written by Dennis O'Flaherty. And then Dennis brings in the other two factors of episode 2. I'm so scared for episode 9, man. It's this is going to be the most hyped up event since Captain N season 1 ended. We're just waiting for episode 9 to find out, will we hear having a ball one more time? The
Dennis trilogy comes to an end.
The Dennis trilogy. Oh my gosh. I think we might actually start referencing this, like the Dennis trilogy of Captain N, like as the season goes on and into next. But the Robot Masters are doing so many different things. A lot of it is just, you know, like someone will catch the ball. One of the Robot Masters will like use a boomerang and knock it out of the dude's hands, and it catches into the other Robot Master. I was surprised how quickly the Robot Masters escalated to violence on some of these. Like, not, and I don't mean just like using a boomerang to like, you know, knock somebody around. I mean like explosives.
Yeah,
they use an explosive really early on I think the quarterback or something like that, or like the big defensive tackle dude. I don't fucking know. It's just ridiculous. Well, and while all this is going on, Lana is like, I got to figure out what's going on with Wily's plan. Oh, and something I also thought we should at least shout out. Game Boy and the cheerleader are doing cheers for the N team, and Game Boy is projecting like go N team or something like that.
Yeah.
Give me what is the princess say? She's or the cheerleader. She's like, give me an N or give me a, I forget.
Yeah, give me an N. Give me a team or something like that.
I thought she said, give me an N, give me a T. And then she just stops. Like she doesn't go with E, A.
Team. I think
does she say team?
Give me an N, give me a team.
That's fucking the same stupid. Thing.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
It's a really short cheer. Because I did chuckle at her line when they go out and they see all the robots and stuff. And she goes, boy, I hope I have enough cheers for this.
And then she just knows two. That's it. She's two cheers. That's all she's got for this. It's just so dumb. So while all this is happening, Lana is like, I gotta figure out like what Wily's actually up to. And somehow she does find her way into where Wily's like thing, you know, like his
collecting the competition,
his energy. Butthole competition energy collector, the butthole collector. That sounds even worse. But that's the last that you see. Like, you don't even see her see the competition energy collector. You just know that she enters the place where it's at. That's the last you see of it until the very end when Lon, and I know I'm glossing over this. We're going to kind of talk about the stuff in the middle there. But Lana comes running up the field after the game's over and just saying, oh, Dr. Wily's warp thing is reversed. We're all going to go back, you know, like, everything's going to be okay. And that's the most explanation you get. You see her run away to find out what Dr. Wily's getting. You see it cut to where Wily's thing is. You see her like walking up to it, kind of. You don't even see her enter the building, I don't think. And then it just cuts back to her running across the field being like, don't worry, this was all solved, or blah, blah, blah. And that's it.
For as clunky as the exposition was in the beginning, there's like nothing at the end, because I thought the same thing. I was like, they're not going to end this episode without explaining what the heck just happened, right? And then they do, because in the end, they're all transported to the trash warp zone. They're like, what's that smell? Oh, no, the only thing that smells like that is the trash warp zone.
and that's right before Lana comes running in, because the cheerleader is like, do you think we're going to get warped there? And that's when Lana comes running in and be like, no, don't worry. Dr. Wily's thing is switched. But she doesn't say that she switched it. She just says that it's switched. So who did the saving? Your assumption is Lana. It has to be.
And
but
they don't,
it still makes no sense.
And they don't actually show the bad guys being warped away either. Like,
no, it shows them running away into a warp. No. You do see them going into a warp zone, but they don't know they're going to the trash zone.
Right. It all happens so fast and with like little explanation. Because like you said, they don't actually show Lana like flipping a switch and changing anything. But they imply that she's going to. But they don't actually show it. And then, like you said, that one line of dialogue where she's just like, don't worry, I've reversed his stuff. and then they drop the lore bomb on us because they're sending the friends back home, the high school back to Earth.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, we can't wait to hang out with you when you come back. And he's like, yeah, you know, we'll have fun. And then they leave, and Lana's like, well, you know, they won't. And Kevin's like, what are you talking about? She's like, you know, they won't remember you, because as soon as you leave Video Land, you forget everything. And Kevin's like, and first of all, I was like, what? That's a thing?
Yeah, that's news.
And then Kevin goes, yeah, I know. Like, and like, wait, you knew
when were you going to tell us, Kevin? Huh? I was so.
So he knows that he's going to forget all of this when he goes back home as well. Like, that seems like pretty big information for the audience here.
It's one of those things where they're trying to deliver an emotional point, like an emotional gut punch to you. It'd be like, they won't remember any of this. This big event that this experience, that this collective experience, these people shared together, and they won't remember any of it. They won't even know they won't even know that they had this. Like, that's supposed to be like a big, heavy moment. And it's not earned at all in this episode.
No, it reminds me of the Futurama joke where Fry's in love with the Lucy Lubot. And when she's dying, and she's like, I'll always remember you. Memory deleted.
I love that show.
But then, then Kevin, there's like an abrupt swoon ending is how I wrote in my notes. Abrupt swoon ending. Because Lana was kind of jealous of the cheerleader because Kevin was giving her attention and kind of inadvertently mentioned that he had a crush on her, kind of was like, liked her when they were in school together. But then he says something like, oh, I don't want to leave because you're just 1,000 times super duper cool, Lana. And she's like, ah, but it should be like, it should be a different kind of emotion other than like, oh, I'm swooning. It should be like, that's going to be tragic when he has to leave if he's in love with Lana.
Right? Like, he'll have spent like how long collectively in Video Zone or in Video Land or whatever, and he's just not going to remember any of it. Like, what's the point of this series? Like, yeah. He doesn't learn anything. Like, this isn't a movie where you can tell that type of story and have, like, all of that be for nothing.
And it was all a dream. Yeah.
And it was all a dream. It doesn't work in a TV show. Now, I know we're taking this way too seriously for a kid's cartoon that was literally meant just to sell kids Nintendo games. But that's what we're here for, to take this shit seriously.
You're welcome, everyone.
Right? This episode, it took me so long to understand the plot. Like, it took the second or third try, like, watch through to really understand what was going on. And, I mean, I guess, once again, just to summarize the whole plot, Wily discovers this thing called competition energy. He gets a butthole machine to then absorb all the competition energy. And, that then he's going to use that to send the end team to the earthquake zone. Why is the earthquake zone bad? I don't know. Can the end team ever get out of it? Probably, but they make it sound like they won't. There's just no rhyme or reason to any of it. And so to get enough competition energy, he sends them over to California Games World. And first he sends his robots there to have them compete against his robots. The robots are being dicks, so the end team's like, forget that. And Wily's like, I have an idea. Let me use energy and warp an entire high school in. And then they use the high school, the five high schoolers that for some reason, the only five high schoolers in the high school, including faculty, staff, and everything, all that other good stuff. The only five people are just five random high schoolers. And warps them in. They help win a football game for the competition energy, or to fill up the competition energy. Lana foils it, but you don't see her foil it. And she, quote unquote, what did I write down? The exact thing she says is that Wily's warp shifter got shifted into reverse. Apparently, the opposite of an earthquake zone is trash zone. That's reverse. I it makes no fucking sense, but just reversing it, whatever. So, and then, you know, the high schoolers from Kevin's world go back home. The end team survives. You don't know what happened to Mother Brain and the other team. You know they go into trash zone, but if they were able to escape, because they're clearly in the next episode, then maybe sending to earthquake zone wouldn't have done shit either. This whole episode was just dumb. There's funny moments in it, but it was just dumb. What are your final thoughts on the episode, though?
Yeah, on its own, this episode was wild and out there and just like, why am I doing this to myself? But on the other hand, after watching the next episode, and just kind of letting it sink in, the idea of them having to make an episode based on California Games, the video game,
mm-hmm.
I'll take this wild plot. I'll take
it. No, here's an easier way to do it. They set it up right from the get-go that they could have done this. Kevin misses California. It's been established he's from California. Why don't the end team be like, well, we know of California Games World. Let's take him there to remind him of home. Mother Brain's like, oh, he's going to be, his defenses are going to be lowered because he's going to be sentimental about his home, and it's going to be like, I can use that against him and threaten the only, you know, link he might have back to his home in this world. And then that could have been it. Mother Brain could have gone in to like try to destroy California Games World, because that would demoralize Captain N and help her win a victory over them. There's your plot. You don't need this competition energy bullshit. I don't understand, Dexter. I don't. My mind hurts trying to understand. And the whole competition energy thing, I remember finishing the episode the first time and I'm like, wait, what the fuck just happened? Why did Mother Brain and her squad just go into a warp zone? Is this what they wanted? Because it makes it sound like this is what they wanted. Because the last thing you hear is Dr. Wily going like, we have 30 seconds. And he blows a whistle and they all rush into the warp zone. And I'm like, what was their point then? The end team is still here. Because the crazy thing is too, hold on. They were going to warp the end team to the earthquake zone, right?
Yes.
What happens is they warp the bad guys. You know, the bad guys don't know they're going to the trash zone because there's not some big like, oh no, it's not this. They think they're escaping back to wherever their home world is. So the whole plan, because Dr. Wily, from the way I got this, he still thinks it went off without a hitch until he realizes he's in the trash zone and none of it worked. So they don't realize the plan fails until they go through their warp zone. They just left the N team in California Games World. They never sent them to Earthquake Zone. They never tried to send them to some other place. They just leave and they're like, all right, our mission's done. So then what the fuck were the point of any of this? I hate this episode.
This episode has proven to me that if the eventual machine uprising happens, I think I know how to defeat them. Is to we feed all of the scripts of Captain N into the AI script generator and see what comes out the other side. And if the machines don't explode, then we're doomed.
Dude, but I hate all the AI generated bullshit, but I kind of want to take all the scripts from Captain N, feed it into an AI and have it write a new episode.
Yes.
And see what comes out.
Yes. It's the first time I've been interested in doing something like that as well.
I might.
Just this episode alone is going to throw it way off whack.
I want this so bad, Dexter. I want this so bad. Anyone, any listeners out there who know how to do that, who know where to find the scripts of these so I don't have to type up all the stage direction and on the lines, because I'm not, that's a lot of time that I'm, no thank you. I want this to happen. I want this to exist. But we should wrap this episode up so we can squeeze in our second recording session of the day. So, Dexter, final thoughts on Captain N, Season 2, Episode 5, The Big Game.
It was an episode of television. I think it's definitely because I have been enjoying Season 2, but this has been the first one where I was like, I don't like this. This was the first one where I fell on the other side of the line of maybe this hasn't been good this whole time.
In general, Season 2 is not my favorite, though I will say The Trouble with Tetris I really liked. Last month's episode I really did enjoy. Like, I just, it's so silly and dumb and I just really enjoyed it. But this episode really was just bad. Like, it's not even, like all the other ones, like, they're funny bad. This was just bad. There was funny moments that you can take out and like make fun of, but overall, it just hurt. And I'll be honest, I'm not the biggest fan of the next episode too. We'll get into that. I know we'll get into that, but I'm with you on that. So I think that's a good place for us to stop for this episode. This episode was so bad. Not this episode of the podcast, listeners. You're loving this, I promise. Right now, I'm sure you're loving this.
I guarantee it.
I mean, if you're this far in, you know. But that will do it for this mini episode of the Still Loading Podcast. Thank you all so much for listening. There is another episode of Captain N coming up next month. We are almost halfway through Season 2, believe it or not. After the halfway point will be January's episode. That'll be January's episode, where then we're halfway through Season 2. So, Dexter, as per usual, where can the good people find you online?
Oh, you can find me anywhere Dexters are sold. No, you can find me on social media. I'm on Instagram.
In Dexter's Lab.
I'm still on Twitter. You can find me Dexter is the first name. Last name is Morrill, Morrill. I'm on there sharing artwork, sharing other people's stuff. Video game history is my bag. So any and all of that stuff, you can find me there.
All right. And as per usual, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Still Loading Pod on all of them. If you want to email me, you can email me stillloadingcontact@gmail.com. If you want to support the show, it honestly would mean the world to me. You can give it a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts. That helps more people find the show. That's free for you to do. It just takes a moment of your time and it would really mean a lot to me. And I like hearing everyone's thoughts. If you want to support the show monetarily, if you're able to, you can go over to patreon.com/stillloadingpod. For $1 a month, you'll get all the episodes a few days earlier at a higher bitrate, as well as access to a patron-exclusive Discord. For $4 a month, you'll get everything at the $1 tier, plus two bonus mini-episodes. Actually, this episode, the turnaround time for this is really quick. So the most recent episode, recent bonus episode at the time of this coming out will be a tribute to Rieko Kodama, who passed away, sadly, back in May, but we only found out a couple weeks ago. And then actually at the $5 level, so you'll get everything at the four and the one that I mentioned, you know, the bonus episodes, the episodes earlier at a better audio quality, all that good stuff. You also get access to the Still Bonding bonus podcast. That is a monthly podcast where me and my friend Erica Gwynn do a deep dive into every James Bond movie. And at the time of this episode coming out, Goldfinger will have released literally 2 days prior, at least for on the free feed. The time this episode comes out on the free feed, Goldfinger will have just been released. And that one, I guess, unfortunately, Erica was not feeling well, so she couldn't join me for that one. So I got two other wonderful guests, and it's a nearly 3 hour conversation about Goldfinger, and it was a great time. So if that interests you, patreon.com/stillloadingpod, bonus episodes, Still Bonding, episodes early, all that good stuff. It's all there for you. And finally, of course, my final shout out, the Bit by Bit Foundation. The Bit by Bit Foundation is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to put video games and video game consoles in the hands of kids receiving inpatient care at hospitals. So if you want to support them, go to bitbybitfoundation.org and consider donating. And that is all I got for you this week. Dexter, thank you once again for joining me.
Thank you.
And I will see you. Oh, I'm sorry. I almost forgot. We will think of you the next time we play video games, or yeah. Every time we play video games, what is it?
The next time.
Next time. Okay. We will think of you the next time we play video games. Bye.
Bye. Stay right here for a